Abraham Heschel was a Jewish scholar, a teacher. He was born at the beginning of the 20th century in 1907 in Poland. And so he was in the middle of life during the Nazi occupation. So, in order to avoid being killed, he immigrated to the United States. He was a brilliant man. He loved to study the scriptures. He was a preeminent scholar. He taught at the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York City. He published many, many books. He was a short, thin man, very thick glasses. He was most at home in the library. And he thought a lot about God. But when the bombs began to go off in Vietnam, he heard them in his soul, not literally. He could not ignore these sounds, he recalls. He could not ignore the voice of his own conscience. So one day he left his study, his comfort zone, and began to speak out. He said at one point, at this hour, Vietnam is our most urgent, our most disturbing religious problem. The war being a religious problem, he said. All religious duties recede, he said. All rituals should be suspended except one, to save lives and to relieve pain. He studied the prophets. He was an expert in Micah, Jeremiah, Malachi. He became a prophetic voice. To speak about God and to remain silent on Vietnam is blasphemous, he said. So he stood before microphones at rallies. He marched with thousands of others on the streets. He wrote letters to the presidents, to religious leaders, to newspaper editors. He said, the most basic way in which all people may be divided is between those who believe that war is unnecessary and those who believe that war is inevitable. Between those to whom the sword is a symbol of honor and those to whom seeking to convert swords into plowshares. Separating this is the only way to keep our civilization from disaster. He prayed, O Lord, we are a generation that has lost the capacity for outrage. We must continue to remind ourselves that in a free society, all are involved in what some are doing. Some are guilty, but everyone is responsible. He called everyone, regardless of our position, partially responsible for violence and war. Story of another man from another religion, halfway around the world, Badshah Khan. He was a Pathan in northern India, where you might have heard where the Khyber Pass is located. Continues to be a point of conflict, a place of conflict between Pakistan and India to this day. In his tradition of Islam, personal honor is an obsession. Slights require blood revenge. So for 80 years, the Pathans, his ethnic people, conducted guerrilla warfare against the colonial British troops. This is also at the beginning of the 20th century. And he, Ghaffar Khan, began to seek another way. He was a son of a powerful tribal chief. He was drawn to the teachings of Gandhi, a contemporary, a Hindu. He went and met Gandhi. He was influenced by him and came back to his own people, imploring them to see beyond their borders, beyond their religious affiliations, to understand themselves as a part of the unity of the people of India. Why not, he said the Khan, fight the British, but not as an army, but as an army of non-violent soldiers, drilled and disciplined in the art of nonviolence. An army pledged to fight not with guns, but with lives. They called themselves the servants of God. It's history's first professional nonviolent army. Anyone could join, provided they took the army's oath, which included these words: I promise to refrain from violence and from taking revenge. I promise to forgive those who oppress me or treat me cruelly. Throughout the 30s and 40s, 100,000 nonviolent Pathan soldiers endured mass shootings, torture, destructions of their homes and property and fields, flogging, other humiliations. He himself, Badshah Khan, was himself imprisoned by the British for 5 years. Yet these soldiers of nonviolence, these servants of God, stood unmoved by the violence that was inflicted upon them. He died peacefully. He helped gain the freedom and the unity of his nation of India, as well as his own personal transformation and the transformation of others as well. In 1985, as a part of the General Senate's coming up, so I have a General Senate edition here. In 1985, way back in 85, the United Church of Christ passed an initiative called the Just Peace Initiative. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe not. And it says that the United Church of Christ would actively work towards efforts in the world that promote reconciliation and peace and move beyond simple sort of pacifism that is inactive and actively work towards a more godly, just state in our world and in our country, so that peace can flourish. So they work on justice issues as well. One of the reasons why I'm a minister is because of the United Church of Christ, because of these kinds of witnesses that stand up and say, yes, we want to do something. Let us reach. Let us strive for what God gives, not for what the world gives. Not what we watch on TV, not whatever justification that we can come up with that says that violence is okay. There's a better way. It might be more difficult to navigate, but there is a better way. This Memorial Day weekend, as we pause and consider those who have fallen, those who have sacrificed, paid the ultimate gift. It's been going on since the Civil War. It's a long time, over 150 years. Wouldn't it be great that one day there'd be less and less followers, fallen warriors to remember? That it might become a thing of the past? It might become a recognition of the way things used to be in a more violent world. Let us begin to break the wheel of violence and become a people who no longer study war anymore. Let us stand and sing in praise of this good news for us today.